Tonight, I'd like to follow a couple of threads in our koan with you and see how they might form part of the texture of this weave that we're making together. We who are the heart, the source, the dark enigma of something new, something not yet completely seen. Here we are under these big old pines, by this quiet stream, along with the tall grasses and the sweet flowers and calling birds of a fortunate spring, held and fed in the midst of the big, dark enigma that is our world right now. What are we the source of? The beating, wondering heart of. So the first theme or thread I'd like to trace with you is about how we hold each other. And I'd like to walk through our story from this perspective. It's almost unsaid in the story, but at the same time, very present. So for this, I'm going to be working from Trevor Leggett's account, because there's a little bit in there that isn't in our text. And so what the first bit of it is just about this woman, young woman. Chiona was her lay name, her birth name. And the note says that she was a woman of Akita, married, one daughter. Huh. And at 34, her husband dies. And the note says she could not get over her grief. And we've talked about that odd phenomenon that, you know, people think we're supposed to get over our grief, or we think we're supposed to, or we think they're supposed to. I have a friend whose son killed himself last year, and the 21st, this next week, is the anniversary of his death. My friend spends part of every day with a pillow over his head weeping. She became a nun. So I guess we'll assume that she had family and helped this somebody took on her daughter and was maybe more able to accompany her daughter than she would have been. But we don't know anything about that. But that's what she did, because that's what she had to do. And so she came to Buko, teacher of the nation, and asked her a question. What is Zen? And he answered, didn't he? The heart of the one who asks is Zen. It's not to be got from the words of someone else. And so a part that's left out of our other version that I'm interested in here is the next thing. The nun said, well then, sir, what are you doing? Giving sermons that are recorded. It's like a fair question. Now, you may have heard me mention that he was Chinese and his Japanese wasn't too good yet. So what would happen is that he would give his talks in Song Dynasty Chinese. They were recorded and then afterwards translated so they could be distributed. It must have been an interesting way to listen to his talks. And so this is what he said. He answered that. He said, to a deaf person, you show the moon by pointing. So here's our moon already, you know, right at the beginning of the story. To a deaf person, you show the moon by pointing. To a blind man, you show the gate by knocking on it with a tile. So who are we? Thank you. I needed that. So then there's this kind of, right? Now what then? And at that moment, that's when one of the deer near the Hakugando stream gave a cry. Now, has anybody heard a deer give a cry?
No.
Who said yes?
Yes.
All right, tell me about it.
It's like a pain, agony, screaming.
It's
fear.
A scream. It's a horrible scream that you can really hardly bear.
Yeah.
It's like not some cute little sound. It is just agony. Horrible scream. You just want to run. You've got to stop it, right? And the teacher said, where is that deer? He has not left her, has he? He is right in there with her in her grief. What about that? Where's that? But he's also not just saying, oh, you poor thing, I'm so sorry you lost your husband. Is he? He's not with her on that level. He's with her on a different level, isn't he, at that moment. So she listened. That must have been hard enough. And then he gives a shout. And, you know, I sort of held back on my shout the other night because it's not very pleasant, a really, really loud shout. It's startling and it can feel like you're being attacked by it, right? And on the other hand, it's raw. And where was she? Raw. And so he brings it right in there, doesn't he? He gives her his shout. In our Monday evening discussion group, one time I sent people home to spend a week and go out someplace where you wouldn't have anybody calling the police on you and practice that kind of shout where you just completely from the gut. And let me tell you, you don't know what it will sound like until you do it. I highly recommend it. Because you don't know what's going to come out of you. And what Bukko did was allow her to be present to what came out of him, unedited. And then he said, who is this listening? This feels so much like kindness to me. Because she'd been unable, by the ordinary means, of asking people to help and, you know, doing whatever you do to try to manage your grief. And he didn't, he skipped all those steps and cut right to the chase, didn't he? And at these words, the story says, she had a flash of illumination. We don't know what that was, do we? There's something very private about it. Because that's not really describable, is it? That flash. And again, there were no sort of, or at least the story doesn't present any pleasantries. Like, oh, thank you very much. That was a great shout. You know? It's not in there. So, she went out. And she went down to the stream. I'm backing up a little bit, because I forgot to bring one thing in that I think is important. And he said the heart of the one who asks. We've been talking about different ways of hearing that. And the way that I'm hearing it tonight is in the sense of the source, the heart of the one. What's the heart of the matter? That kind of heart. And also, the core and the interaction. Because if we don't have to think of the heart as a thing, we can think of the heart as what's the interaction of the one who asks. What's the interaction of asking? What's the interaction of your grief? What's the heart of the problem? That's where he's joining her to investigate that. So she goes down, and in this account it says, at the water pipe from the Hakugando. So she went down to the same stream. That's the same stream where that deer was screaming. Mm-hmm. She goes there. And she picked up a lacquered wooden bucket for flowers. There's another association here, and I don't know if it has anything to do with much, but black lacquer bucket is an insult that sort of in some of the common stories stands for somebody kind of dim-witted or refusing to wake up. And that one sort of hung with me through this anyway. She picks up the bucket. And as she was holding it full of water, so in the timing's a little different in this accounting. Do you see that? It's like just right after she goes down to this stream, and the reflection of the, and she makes her poem. The flower bucket took the stream water and held it. And the reflection of the moon through pines lodged there in purity. A little bit of different translation, huh? The flower bucket took the stream water and held it. You know, another term for somebody who's entering the way is a stream enterer. This bucket took the water and held it. And the reflection of the moon through pines lodged there in purity. The way I'm hearing this tonight is that sense of being so open, as we've said, being cracked so open already by that experience of listening and of hearing the raw expression of her heart. That scream that is both the deer and hers. That then there's a kind of homecoming in picking up that bucket, isn't there? That bucket full of everything and so beautiful, with the moon held there. I just get a sense of, oh, there's something here. There's something here. And then, again, back to kind of the connection, the relationship. And there's a little gap, again, because Bukko couldn't understand the poem in Japanese. So it was translated into Chinese for him. And he glanced at it and said, "Nun, take the Heart Sutra and go." Again, this is so touching to me, the way, in a way, this teacher honors and respects her and her place and where and her experience by not trying to fix anything. He doesn't correct the poem. He doesn't say, yeah, you kind of got it, but, you know, keep working on it. You know, he gives her the heart of understanding. And he trusts her with it, which is a pretty big deal because it ain't easy, right? You know that. And after that, she had interviews with the master coming and being sent away. And we don't know, as somebody pointed out, we don't know the span of time. But we know that she's in a monastic situation. She's meditating with this. She's holding it. She's hearing it. She's probably writing it, which was one of the primary ways of practicing at that time. And she's also washing floors and doing laundry and working in the garden and pretty exhausting schedule. And those nuns were mostly serving the monks. So she's in a really structured environment where it's not a whole lot of what we would consider study. It's mostly work. And she's got the Heart Sutra. Takes some persistence, and it also takes community, right? She's in there with other women doing this together, day in, day out. Cooking, washing, Heart Sutra. This is what I kind of picture. Till in the end, the bucket broke. And at this point, we're making a kind of leap, aren't we? Because we're no longer talking about a literal bucket. Because we really, it's hard to imagine that, you know, I don't know. I don't see that as a literal bucket, as the literal bucket myself. Maybe you do. She probably was carrying flowers too and going back and forth with the stream. But the way it's said, till in the end the lacquer bucket broke and she presented another poem of this realization, is the way it's said in this book. I think that wording was what made me think we're already talking about a bigger bucket. The bottom, and here's the poem, and listen to her name. The bottom fell out of Chiyono's bucket. Now it holds no water, nor does the moon lodge there. Isn't that a sweet other translation? Mm-hmm. And it's Chiyono. It's not Mojako. It's not her formal Buddhist name. It's her girlhood name. It's her wifely name. Yeah? The bottom fell out of Chiyono's bucket. Now it holds no water, nor does the moon lodge there. Now, in this account, there's another little thing that's different back from the introduction, which says that it gives it like a specific time and place on the evening. Oh, so maybe it was really. I think it, maybe I'm wrong about that bucket. Maybe it was the actual bucket. Anyway, on the evening of a 15th day of August, when she was filling her lacquer flower bucket where the valley stream comes down, the bottom fell out. Seeing the water spilling, she had a flash of insight and made the poem. And then it skips. Later, he set her a classical koan, three pivot turning phrases of Oryu, never heard of him, I don't know if you guys have, and examined her minutely on it, and she was able to meet the questions. Again, she continued interviews with him for a long time. And in the end, he passed his robe and bowl to her, gave her Dharma transmission as a successor to teach. And other people had built a temple in Kyoto and asked her to become the first teacher there. It was not unusual in Zen for a teacher to be a woman. After Bukko died, a hermitage called Shomyakuan was built for her to be the temple of Bukko's grave. And she taught there until she died at the age of 76, although there's some doubt about that date. So that story, too, was very touching to me because it gives you a little bit of the sense of this. She stayed in relationship with this teacher. That was the beginning of a long relationship of study. And then a long relationship of teaching other women, a relationship that went on after she died, as we learn when the story picks up. So when we have that the other poem that follows, because it that you know these. Her story was taken up as for people to bring into the depth of their own meditation and hold there. Yeah. And the poem is translated this way: the bottom fell out of the bucket of that woman of humble birth. The pale moon of dawn is caught in the rain puddles. Again, I'm so moved by the sense of not only what her experience was, what Mujaku's experience was, but coming after, the sense of the dawning. Yeah, it's the pale moon of dawn, the dawning in all of the rain puddles. What about us? Yeah. What's dawning in all of the rain puddles everywhere? So, just a couple of other things that I want to come in there. About that grief and about the way the relationship works with something about that grief. That grief, that sense that grief is a passage. And it's grieving more than a state, right? It's an activity as well. And the state part of it is being gravid, right? Some of you who read Joan's article will recognize that she talked about grief having a common root. If a woman is gravid, she's pregnant. And that sense of being heavy with it, it's sort of lively for me right now because my daughter sends me pictures of her big belly. She's heavy with it. And I'm aware of what a complex thing that is. Because at the same time, you can't help also that you're grieving your girlhood in a way. And I've forgotten that part. Some of you may remember it who've been through that, but there's that sense of, I don't know what I'm going to be. I don't know who she's going to be. This one's a little girl. And I don't even know what I was, but it's going. Some part of it. And so there's this mixture in there. And then on the other hand, with grieving, what is my grieving asking of me? What is trying to be born in me? Why won't it let me go? Why is it still in there? Its lease is up, you know? And when we say, I can't bear it, you know, and we say that we bear a child, to me there's, there's a connection there that is real in some way and mysterious. And so if Zen is absorption, yeah, jhana, then there's so much in this story of the way that Bukko encourages Mujaku's absorption. Doesn't say, here's the way out of your grief, but encourages her to go all the way into the mystery. What am I carrying? What am I bearing? What is this? And who is bearing it? What am I, the bearer? Where does it come from, and where do I come from, and where are we going? The big questions. Dark enigma. How is it gestating me? The me that comes forth moment by moment, abiding nowhere. So the source of this stream goes all the way back to Black Tara, doesn't it? We're really, I think that Bukko was encouraging her in giving her the Heart Sutra, which is a sutra about what? Suffering and relief from suffering. To go all the way upstream to the source, the heart. And then we discover, as we've been saying here, that you are the source of anything that could be called or experienced as Zen. It's your jhana. It's your absorption. It's your, I don't know who I am. I don't know what's happening to me, but here I am coming forth, like it or not. It has so much that, you know, ready or not, here I am, quality.
Our practice.
And our cons are so much the practice of that, right? Ready or not. And that's one of the powers of working with a teacher, is that when you have a meeting with the teacher, there is always that ready or not, here we are, quality to it, which is exactly where our jhana, our absorption, takes us. Just go ahead and come forth. It's okay. Someone's with you. And the branching streams that flow from that dark flow all the way through her stream and through our stream. What are we bearing? Many of you in this retreat have talked about it being possible to let yourself be in the presence of your own hearts, because we are here doing it together. Fortunately, we're here to do it.